The night before the festival opens, Freetown feels alive in a way that is both familiar and unmistakably new. Warm coastal winds carry the smell of roasted cassava and jerk season smoke from beachside vendors preparing for the crowds. Taxi radios echo with the same slow heartbeat of bass lines that once traveled from Kingston's yards to West Africa's ports decades ago. Streetlights shimmer on rust-red soil as people gather outside Cape Lighthouse Beach, talking about artists they once heard only through speakers or grainy music video broadcasts. For some, this festival is entertainment. For others, it is a homecoming they never thought they would witness. Across the city, stage crews tighten cables, drum circles rehearse with rising intensity, and elders sit underneath palm trees quietly smiling. They've seen history repeat itself, cultures divide, cultures return. Now, under a Sierra Leonean moon, an old rhythm is finding its way back across the ocean, not as an export, but as a reunion. And the question rises with the night air. Can a celebration like this reconnect a family long separated by the Atlantic? Chapter 1, Roots, Roads, and Reunion. The morning of the festival's opening day breaks slowly over Freetown, its light settling first on the city's hills before sliding across tin rooftops and busy intersections. Sierra Leone has long used celebration as a tool for healing, and over the last decade, cultural festivals have grown into a defining part of its national voice. Independence commemorations, beach carnivals, storytelling gatherings, each carries the imprint of a country rebuilding not only structures, but spirit. The One Nation Reggae Festival enters this landscape as something both new and deeply rooted, a moment shaped by global currents, yet grounded in local identity. Its creation began years earlier with a small group of Sierra Leonean promoters who shared an ambitious vision. They believed reggae could serve as a bridge linking Africa and the Caribbean, crossing not just geographic distance, but emotional and historical space as well. Their idea wasn't simply to host concerts, it was to create a living symbol of shared heritage, a reminder that music born on Caribbean islands began with African hands, African rhythms, African endurance. The founders saw a festival as a vessel for reconnection, something that could gather scattered histories and place them side by side on a single stage. They studied the roots of reggae music, tracing its path across continents. Reggae's rise in Africa began in the 1970s when Ghana, Tanzania, Nigeria, and Zimbabwe found themselves drawn to the lyrical and political power of Jamaican music. Long before globalization made such exchanges easy, reggae traveled through vinyl shipments, shortwave radio signals, and word-of-mouth networks. In Nigeria, the late Fela Kuti absorbed some of reggae's sentiment as he crafted Afrobeat's revolutionary sound. In Ghanaian coastal towns, young musicians learned Marley's phrasing and adapted it to local rhythms, forging early hybrids that would influence generations. Sierra Leone's relationship with reggae deepened during the years after its civil war. As communities rebuilt, reggae brought messages of resilience and peace that resonated with lived experience. Local bands began forming in small rehearsal rooms scattered through Freetown's districts, drawing on stories of loss and hope that paralleled those found in Caribbean lyrics. The music felt familiar, not because it had been here before, but because it belonged here. To understand how reggae crossed the Atlantic in the first place, historians look even further back. Caribbean musical identity is inseparable from the forced migration of millions of West Africans through the slave trade. Those who survived carried fragments of their homeland, drumming styles, chants, call and response patterns. In Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, and Grenada, these traditions merged with new social realities. Sailors introduced foreign instruments. Freed communities adapted rhythms into spiritual practices. Sound systems emerged from local ingenuity. Over centuries, this fusion created the deep bassline and heartbeat cadence that would later define reggae. Reggae's major pioneers, Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Burning Spear, became global storytellers for the African diaspora. African listeners did not hear them as foreign celebrities, but as distant cousins speaking a shared truth. When Marley sang of liberation and spiritual return, he awakened something long dormant in millions across the continent. His 1980 performance at Zimbabwe's independence celebration cemented reggae's symbolic place in African political and cultural life. From that point onward, the genre was woven into African modernity, both as music and philosophy. By the time the One Nation Reggae Festival was announced, Sierra Leonean audiences had already embraced reggae deeply. At community centers, elders played old 45s through static-filled speakers. In college hostels, students downloaded dance hall tracks between study sessions. Taxi drivers debated who carried the true roots sound. Reggae had become a part of everyday life, so when organizers revealed their plan to bring Caribbean artists to Sierra Leone's shores, artists who carried the tradition from its birthplace, communities responded with unmistakable excitement. In the days leading up to the festival, preparations filled the air with anticipation. The stage went up piece by piece on Cape Lighthouse Beach, a wide coast where waves hit the shore steadily, like a natural metronome. Local vendors secured tents and arranged their best offerings. Grilled fish brushed with red pepper oil, cassava leaf stew, handmade beadwork, bright ankara clothing, and wooden carvings shaped as drums and lions. Young men hauled sound equipment under the direction of experienced engineers who insisted on achieving a baseline deep enough to vibrate through sand. The preparation was not just logistical, it was communal. In nearby neighborhoods, drumming circles practiced into the night. Youth volunteers painted festival signs and organized litter cleanup crews. Older residents offered advice on crowd flow and parking, drawing from decades of experience hosting public gatherings. The entire process felt less like event setup and more like a city opening its arms to visiting family. In the evenings, as the sun slipped behind palm trees, pockets of people gathered to speculate about the Caribbean artists who were on their way. "Do you think the Jamaican headliners will try banga soup?" one man asked at a street stall. "I want to hear them mix with our drummers," another said. "I want them to feel what we feel." For many, this festival was an affirmation that the Atlantic, though wide, could never erase what connected them. The founders visited the site constantly during these final days, walking the ground slowly, observing the growing structures, the cables under the stage, the food tents beginning to take shape. They spoke softly as they worked, occasionally pausing to watch the ocean, as though imagining the invisible line stretching across the water toward the Caribbean. They understood the weight of what they were creating, a moment where history meets present, where music becomes a bridge rather than a product. By the night before the opening, the atmosphere around the beach had transformed. Lanterns hung from temporary poles, lights illuminated the stage's skeleton, and a distant sound system tested bass frequencies that rolled through the air like a quiet promise. Vendors sharpened knives, artists checked their instruments, and children ran barefoot across the sand, weaving through the setup crews with laughter echoing against the waves. Elders watched these scenes from shaded corners, remembering times when music had served as a path through hardship. Some recalled earlier decades when West African sailors brought back records from the Caribbean, sparking youth bands in Freetown and Monrovia. Others remembered listening to Marley's Africa Unite on cassettes passed from hand to hand. They knew this festival was more than entertainment. It was a continuation of a story that began centuries ago, carried through rebellion, resistance, and cultural survival. As the night deepened, drumming circles formed along the beach. The rhythms rose and fell with the tide, weaving a warm pulse through the gathering crowd. People danced barefoot on the cool sand, and from time to time, a local singer stepped forward to chant a line or two of a familiar reggae anthem. The music floated upward toward the sky, mingling with the promise of the festival to come. The chapter closed on a single question that lingered in the air. Can a celebration this large, this intentional, truly reconnect two sides of the same cultural family separated by an ocean? Chapter 2, When the Drums Met the Bassline. Morning arrives with a soft gold light spreading across Freetown's waterfront, touching the waves, and then moving inland toward the neighborhoods perched on the hills. This morning is different. Word spreads fast. The Caribbean artists have landed. Taxi drivers mention it between fares, vendors share the news as they arrange their stalls, and children run along the dirt roads repeating the names they heard on the radio. The sense of anticipation, already thick, sharpens into something electric. At Lungi Airport, the arriving musicians step into a blend of warm air and vibrant welcome. They expected enthusiasm, but they did not expect the scale of it. dancers waiting with traditional West African steps, drummers pounding out rhythms older than most written histories, and elders offering blessings with calm voices and knowing smiles. It feels to the artists like stepping into a place they've never been and yet somehow recognize. The recognition is emotional rather than visual, a quiet tug that sits somewhere under the surface. The festival organizers escort the artists through the airport, exchanging greetings and laughter. As they load into vans for the ferry ride to the mainland, conversations begin immediately. A Jamaican vocalist remarks on the resemblance between Sierra Leone's shoreline and parts of Hanover Parish back home. A Trinidadian percussionist listens intently to the local drummer's patterns, tapping his fingers against his thigh in quick, instinctive imitation. The journey across the water becomes the first shared space, a bridge, not physical, but cultural. On board the ferry, the musicians stand along the rail, watching the Atlantic stretch out like a mirror glinting under the sun. Some of them think of the journey their ancestors made in the opposite direction centuries ago. They don't voice it, not yet, but they feel the weight of history as a presence, not a memory. One singer hums a soft line from a reggae classic, and a nearby Sierra Leonean drummer matches the tune with a quiet beat of his palms against the metal railing. It is spontaneous, simple, but it marks the first blending of the festival. When the ferry docks in Freetown, crowds gather not for spectacle alone, but for welcome. Children thrust out drawings of Jamaican flags. Teenagers hold handmade signs with artists' names written in bold paint. Vendors bring small gifts, coconut sweets, palm-woven bracelets, carved wooden pendants. The artists respond with smiles, handshakes, and thanks, creating a sense of shared affection that softens the boundary between visitor and host. The rehearsals begin that same afternoon. Inside a large open-air hall near the beach, African and Caribbean musicians sit together, tuning instruments under the echo of distant waves. The building is simple: wooden beams, open sides, a red concrete floor. But inside, it becomes a laboratory of sound. Drummers from Sierra Leone warm up with rhythms from the Temne and Limba traditions, deep, rolling patterns that move like stories. The Caribbean artists tune guitars and adjust bass strings, letting familiar reggae progressions float outward in steady phrases. When the two groups begin to play together, the sound starts rough but quickly finds its pulse. The drummers lean forward, testing how their rhythms can interlock with reggae's one-drop pattern. Bassists listen carefully, shaping their lines to complement the drums rather than compete with them. Singers step in and out, searching for pockets in the rhythm where their voices feel at home. It is a negotiation as much as a creation, mutual respect guiding every note. During breaks, conversations deepen. A Dominican singer asks about the origins of a particular rhythm, and a local drummer explains its connection to ancestral farming rituals. A Jamaican guitarist describes how Maroon communities influenced early Jamaican folk music, sparking nods from elders who already know the shared lineage. The room becomes a space of cultural exchange, every conversation adding another layer to the festival's foundation. Food vendors bring plates of jollof rice, cassava bread, plantains, and grilled snapper. The artists gather around the plates, sharing meals as they talk about ancestry and migration. A Trinidadian singer speaks softly about her grandmother's stories, stories of Africa that were vague but cherished. A Sierra Leonean percussionist explains how his family kept certain rhythms alive through generations, passing them down like heirlooms. Through these exchanges, the musicians begin to grasp that they are not merely collaborating, they are unearthing a continuity that has always existed. As the rehearsals continue, the sound shifts from experimental to powerful. Every strike of the drum, every pluck of the bass line, every harmony from the singers begins to build a structure. What emerges is not reggae as the world knows it, nor traditional West African drumming as it has existed for centuries. It is something new yet ancient, a fusion that honors both sides equally. By evening, news spreads across Freetown that something special is happening at the rehearsal hall. People gather outside, listening through open walls, moving their bodies to the rhythms in spontaneous bursts of dance. Children mimic the musicians, tapping sticks against stones and humming along with bright enthusiasm. The energy around the hall becomes an extension of the rehearsal itself, a a living, breathing audience that feeds the musicians. When night falls and rehearsal breaks, the artists step outside to a view of the ocean shimmering under moonlight. The night air carries laughter, conversations, and the fading echoes of the music they've just created. There is a sense that today marked a turning point. What began as preparation is becoming transformation. Day one of the festival opens with a roar. The crowd gathers early, some arriving hours before the gates open. They come dressed in bright fabrics, Caribbean flags, African prints, and clothing emblazoned with reggae icons. As they move toward Cape Lighthouse Beach, the sound of drums travels ahead of them. Inside the festival grounds, the stage glows with colored lights as engineers run final checks. The setup is a blend of precision and celebration. Nothing rushed, everything intentional. Families spread blankets on the sand. Couples hold hands as they walk toward food stalls. Youth volunteers direct foot traffic, their shirts bearing the festival's emblem, a drum and bass guitar crossed over an outline of Africa and the Caribbean. The shared symbol feels like a statement, unity through rhythm. As the sun begins to set, the first major performance is announced. The crowd erupts as musicians walk onto the stage, greeted by a wave of cheers. Local drummers step forward first, their hands moving with practiced ease. The crowd answers with collective claps, creating a warm, rising energy that fills the air. Then the Caribbean artists step onto the stage, and the atmosphere shifts into something almost spiritual. The first notes of the song rise into the fading sunset. Not a traditional reggae opening, not a traditional African drumming salute. It is the fusion created during rehearsals, now amplified through speakers that make the sand vibrate beneath people's feet. The crowd's response is immediate. People dance with an abandon that feels both joyful and historical. Elders sway gently, eyes shining with recognition. Young people jump, shout, and record videos to share with friends abroad. Every movement in the crowd mirrors the merging taking place on stage. During the performance, the lead singer pauses to speak to the crowd. His voice carries across the beach with a calm power. He talks about shared ancestry, the bonds that outlived separation, the music that survived journeys across the Atlantic. His words resonate deeply, and the crowd listens with stillness before erupting again into cheers. Backstage, elders from Sierra Leone's cultural communities watch the performance with profound emotion. Some wipe away tears. They hear echoes of rhythms that were carried away centuries ago, now returning in a new form. To them, this moment is not just music, it is continuity. Throughout the night, different artists take the stage. Each brings their unique sound, but all of them acknowledge the connection they feel. Local reggae bands perform sets that blend Creole lyrics with Jamaican vocal styling. Caribbean DJs showcase sound system techniques, giving crowds a taste of dancehall culture that many had only experienced through recorded music. One of the most moving moments comes during a break between sets when a Sierra Leonean elder takes the microphone. He speaks slowly, his voice deep and steady. He shares oral history of how enslaved Africans carried their rhythms into the Caribbean, how drumming traditions survived through resilience, and how today's festival represents a return, not as sorrow, but as celebration. The crowd listens with reverence, understanding the significance of hearing this narrative from a witness of tradition. Later in the evening, young African musicians gather backstage with Caribbean artists. They share stories about growing up hearing reggae and trying to imitate the style with limited instruments. The Caribbean musicians respond with guidance, encouragement, and honest admiration for the African musicians' creativity. These exchanges feel intimate, genuine, and transformative. The midpoint of the festival arrives as the second major set begins with a slow, powerful instrumental. The crowd hushes as the Caribbean artists and African drummers share the stage. The fusion becomes deeper, more intentional. Caribbean harmonies weave through African percussion. Bass lines support traditional rhythms. The music rises like a shared heartbeat. And then it happens. The shift. A realization moves through the crowd and across the stage. This event is not entertainment. It is not even cultural exchange. It is recognition. For the first time in generations, musicians from both sides of the Atlantic are rediscovering their shared roots in real time, on a stage built for celebration and reunification. People in the crowd begin to cry without shame, Others shout celebratory chants. Some stand still, overwhelmed. The stage lights shimmer across tear-streaked faces, creating a scene where joy and history collide. The night ends with a final collaborative song, a piece created during rehearsals that blends reggae's steady one drop with the rolling patterns of West African drumming. As the last note fades, the crowd erupts into applause that continues long after the musicians have left the stage. Tonight, something ancient has awakened, and everyone feels it. Chapter 3, A Circle Completed. The final morning of the One Nation Reggae Festival begins long before the sun climbs over Freetown's hills. Vendors move quietly across the sand, arranging their goods under dim lantern light. Volunteers sweep the walkways, preparing for the final wave of festival goers. The sea is calm this morning, its slow waves brushing the shore with a softness that feels ceremonial, as if the Atlantic itself is observing the significance of the day. This is the last chapter in a celebration that has grown beyond the expectations of its founders, its musicians, and even the community that welcomed it. As dawn brightens the coastline, small groups begin arriving at Cape Lighthouse Beach. Some come to secure good spots for the night's performances. Others come simply to be present for the final day's rituals. The atmosphere feels different from the first 2 days, less like anticipation and more like fulfillment. Conversations drift across the sand about moments witnessed the night before. The fusion of rhythms that felt like a return home, the speeches that touched deeply personal histories, the way the crowd seemed to breathe in sync with the music. People carry themselves with gratitude, as if aware they are living through something that will be remembered for decades to come. In a shaded pavilion near the water, a sunrise gathering begins. Local cultural practitioners lead it, joined by Caribbean artists who accepted the invitation to participate. The ceremony is simple: drumming, invocation, and reflection. A Sierra Leonean elder stands in the center, speaking in a voice softened by age but strengthened by purpose. He talks about the ancestors who crossed the Atlantic unwillingly, the songs they carried in their memories, and the way those rhythms transformed into new expressions in the Caribbean. They did not lose everything, he says. They planted seeds across the water. Today, the harvest returns. The Caribbean musicians listen quietly, the weight of his words settling into their spirits. They have performed on stages around the world, but standing here, feet in the sand, the Atlantic stretching wide before them, carries a gravity unlike anything they have experienced. One singer places her hand over her heart, eyes fixed on the horizon. Another musician bows his head as if in prayer. The drums continue softly, marking time, connecting past and present with each beat. After the ceremony, the artists disperse into small groups, walking through the festival grounds before the main crowds arrive. They greet vendors, taste local foods, and take photos with early attendees. Their presence feels natural now, not as visiting performers, but as extended family taking part in daily life. As they explore, they encounter murals painted throughout the grounds, scenes of African and Caribbean unity, portraits of reggae legends, alongside traditional Sierra Leonean drummers, symbols that merge both cultural identities into single images. These artworks capture the essence of the festival, connection made visible. As the sun rises higher, youth workshops begin. Local young musicians gather under a series of tents where Caribbean artists lead mentoring sessions. One tent hosts a drumming class where Jamaican percussionists demonstrate how to balance traditional African rhythms with reggae syncopation. Another tent overflows with aspiring singers eager to learn vocal phrasing, breath control, and stage presence from Caribbean vocalists. A third tent focuses on songwriting, how to turn personal stories into lyrics that resonate across borders. The exchanges are lively and warm. A teenage girl sings a reggae chorus in Creole, and the Caribbean artist working with her beams with pride. A young drummer learns a Jamaican-style fill and then responds by teaching the visiting musician a rhythm from his home village. Their laughter echoes through the air, a reminder that cultural legacies continue through youth, not just heritage. Many of the participants will remember this day as the moment they realized their creative ambitions could stretch far beyond their neighborhoods, reaching across oceans. Throughout the afternoon, scholars, cultural historians, and journalists wander the grounds conducting interviews. They speak with attendees about what the festival means to them personally. A father from Bo District explains that he brought his children because he wanted them to see that Africa is not isolated from the world, that their heritage extends across continents. A group of university students talk about how reggae shaped their political awareness, connecting them to wider narratives of liberation and identity. A woman from nearby Aberdeen Village shares that she came to witness history being made. "We hear of the diaspora," she says. "We speak of reconnecting. But to see it with your eyes, to hear it in music, that is different." As evening approaches, the final performance begins to take shape. The stage crew works with focused intensity, adjusting lights, setting microphones, and making sure every cable is secure. Tonight's event is not a series of individual performances like the earlier nights. It is a collaborative mega performance. African and Caribbean artists sharing the same set, merging their styles into a unified musical experience. The anticipation is palpable. The festival grounds fill quickly. The crowd stretches far beyond the main gates, people standing on walls, sitting on rooftops, and climbing small hills to get a better view of the stage. Families gather close together, holding small children on their laps. Groups of friends link arms. Elders stand with walking sticks planted firmly in the sand. The mood is celebratory, but also reverent, as if everyone understands the symbolic importance of this final night. As the sun dips below the horizon, a low, resonant drum begins to pulse across the beach. The sound is steady, grounded, ancient. The crowd quiets instinctively. One by one, African drummers walk onto the stage, their silhouettes outlined by soft golden lights. They play rhythms from different ethnic traditions across Sierra Leone, each representing a unique story, a distinct identity, a lived history. The crowd sways gently, mesmerized. Then the Caribbean musicians join them. A bass guitar enters subtly, weaving its line around the African rhythms. A guitar riff follows, echoing the classic reggae pulse. The music begins to rise. The drummers adjust their patterns, responding to the Caribbean groove. The bass deepens. The crowd catches its breath. What unfolds next is a performance unlike anything the audience has ever experienced. The fusion is seamless. African drumming does not sit behind reggae, it drives it. Reggae melodies do not overshadow traditional rhythms, they expand them. The vocals alternate between Caribbean English, Jamaican patois, Creole, and local languages, creating a multilingual tapestry that mirrors the shared cultural legacy of both regions. During one of the most powerful songs, the lead singer, a Caribbean vocalist who has become a crowd favorite, steps forward and speaks. Her voice carries with clarity and emotion. "We traveled across an ocean to share music, but what we found was home. Your rhythms are our rhythms. Your stories are our stories. Tonight, the circle closes." Her words ignite the crowd. People raise their hands, some shouting affirmations, others crying openly. Lights flash across the beach, illuminating faces that reflect joy, pride, and overwhelming connection. This is more than unity. It is belonging. As the performance continues, visuals projected on the backdrop of the stage show scenes from Africa's Atlantic coast, followed by images of Caribbean landscapes, rolling hills of Jamaica, beaches of Trinidad, city skylines of Barbados. The transitions between these visuals are subtle, suggesting continuity rather than contrast. The crowd reacts with recognition, as if witnessing their histories stitched together through art. The collaborative set lasts nearly 2 hours, each song blending traditions with fresh creativity. One track combines the rolling tempo of Sierra Leone's boo-boo music with a slowed reggae rhythm, creating a mesmerizing groove. Another song incorporates call and response between the artists and the crowd, bridging performers and audience in shared expression. The final piece features a layered vocal harmony that builds until it feels as if the entire beach is vibrating. When the last note fades into the night air, the crowd explodes into applause that seems to shake the ground. The musicians stand together at the front of the stage, holding hands, raising them high. People in the audience chant, clap, whistle, and cry. This is celebration in its purest form, not spectacle, but recognition of shared lineage renewed. After the show ends, the crowd lingers. No one wants to leave. The air is warm, filled with the lingering echoes of drum beats and bass lines. People embrace each other, strangers becoming family for a moment. The musicians move through the audience, greeted with love and gratitude. Journalists attempt interviews but give up quickly, realizing the energy is too emotional for structured conversations. In the hours after the final performance, the festival's impact becomes clear. Local businesses report record sales, not just food vendors, but artisans, tailors, and transport providers. Artists from Sierra Leone and the Caribbean exchange contact information, already planning collaborative tours, studio sessions, and music videos. The founders of the festival walk through the grounds silently, overwhelmed by what they are witnessing. This event began as a dream. Now it is a cultural landmark. Scholars attending the festival speak of broader implications. They discuss the significance of diaspora reconnection in a world where identity is often fractured. One historian remarks that the festival acts as a cultural bridge and historical healing point, echoing themes that have long been discussed in academic circles, but rarely seen so vividly in practice. Another scholar notes that the festival demonstrates how music can function as diplomacy, uniting communities separated by geography and colonial history. By midnight, the festival grounds begin to empty. Families head home, their children asleep on their shoulders. Vendors pack up their remaining goods. Volunteers sweep the sand, though they know they will return in the morning to finish the job. The stage lights dim, leaving only the moon to cast a glow across the beach. The empty stage becomes a symbol. Earlier, it held musicians who connected continents. Now, bare and silent, it represents the journey ahead, an open space waiting for future stories, future reunions, future celebrations. The festival may have ended, but its impact continues. In the quiet that follows, the founders gather one last time at the water's edge. They speak little, choosing instead to listen to the sound of the waves. They understand that this event has shifted something fundamental, not just in the communities that attended, but in the musicians who performed. A circle that began centuries ago has found a moment of completion, not as closure, but as continuation. The night's final image is simple, the dark outline of the stage against the ocean, lit faintly by moonlight, a reminder that some celebrations do not end, they evolve. The festival has concluded, but the rhythm carries on.